Hey, podcast people, James here real quick to tell you about another podcast from Nobody's Listening Podcast called We're Both Right. We're Both Right is my wife Jennifer and me lovingly but enthusiastically discussing and arguing meaningful topics every single week. Lively conversations from two hard-headed Gen X type A firstborns. Check it out today on Apple, Spotify, or WeBothRight.com. Thanks!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Elizabeth, come on down!
I'm Elizabeth from McAllen, Texas, and this is That Story Show. Thank you, everyone!
Hey! This is That Story Show, people!
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where our whole entire purpose is to brighten your day with hilarious real-life stories. This is episode 276. I am your host. My name is James Kinnison, and my good friend is here.
Yes, my name is John, and I make a very good living smiling.
Awesome.
Actually, I don't, but it sounded good at the time.
That would be a great way to make a living.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made much money this month, though.
No.
Depression sucks. But we're glad to be back. We missed you guys, and yes. December is a good month. And we're looking forward to it. John, have you had anything? Do you have your Christmas set up yet?
You know what? We just did it Sunday, I think it was.
Okay. All right. We might got you Monday. Beat by a week. It was the kids' fault. We're not early decorators, but they said the weekend after Thanksgiving, we needed to get it all out. So we did. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. There's not much. We don't do a whole lot, but I have a fake.
What do you mean by a whole lot?
Well, there's a tree, you know, and the decorations, and we've got a few snowmen figurines that we set around the house. Cool. There's a snowman with a nose that rotates to point to how many days are left in Christmas. And and I bought I made a fake fireplace facade. Oh. That for an old television. And so we have a 10-hour loop from YouTube running of fire in the fireplace.
And so that's awesome.
It's what we hang our stockings on and all that kind of stuff. And it really works. My wife goes in there and just sits there and watches the fire.
So, I want to see a picture of that. Did you post it anywhere?
I will. I'll share one and put it in the show notes for folks. Maybe a little short video or whatever, but the dog even goes and sits near it. And I often wonder if he thinks he's feeling some warmth or not.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, a little bit radiates off those old, you said it's an old plasma TV.
It's something. Yeah.
Flat screen.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of heat that comes off. Unless it's a Westinghouse, there's a lot of heat that comes off of it.
Especially when you're beating it to death with a hammer.
So, oh yeah.
That was a good deal on Westinghouse televisions. I heard
sure.
$200 for this big old television. I'm like, that's still too expensive if all we're going to do is beat it with a hammer. So
it's a lot of money to smash.
It is. Well, we like to start every episode with a story, and this is no exception. Of course, I have to play this first.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
This story is called Middle School Anatomy, brought to us by a guy that calls himself Smart Middle Schooler. He says, when I was in sixth grade now, my teacher was in the middle of math and she was writing down a math question on the board. She sent us all to work set us all to work. And as I was working, I heard a loud rip and looked up to see my teacher spin quickly around and plaster herself to the chalkboard. Uh-oh. She called over to the assistant and started to whisper to her. The assistant walked away, but the teacher remained flat with her back against the chalkboard. Later, the assistant came back with safety pins, and she began to safety pin the back of my teacher's beautiful dress together. It had ripped in the middle of class in front of everyone. And let's just say, I don't want to go into detail about the type of underwear she was wearing at the time.
No.
He says, I am now scarred for life at seeing my teacher's jumble guns.
I don't want to imagine what kind of things would expose such things. Ugh. So I'm just going to not.
Can't imagine a worse thing. He says, I hope you thought this story was funny. Thanks for the great podcast, Smart Middle Schooler. I'll tell you, being in front of kids is a little bit of a, I don't know, it's a challenge. When I was doing it as a children's pastor, I was constantly scared, just in the back of my head, that my fly was down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the time. So as I was preaching or whatever, I would walk backwards and do that quick little check just to make sure that zipper was up, because it had happened before. I had a pair of khakis that were just loose. The little biter, there's a little pin in your zipper holder handle. Mm-hmm. And I guess that had worn down, and they like gravity to do their thing. And I'd be walking around talking to parents and no one would say anything. I don't think anybody noticed. But kids did, because, you know, they're short.
Head level.
Yeah. And it's their job to point stuff out like that. That's what they're for.
And they'll do it right in the middle of the most inopportune time.
Exactly.
God bless them.
Pastor James, XYZ. You know. Mm-hmm. Sammy, zipper.
Oh, no, this is how they do it in my church. Hey, everybody, look at Pastor John.
Wow. So
zipper's down.
I've never had anything rip or split, though, in front of... front of the children, thankfully. Gosh,
I'm very self-conscious about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
because when I was in second grade, we were singing this song called "The Lord's Army." Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
And so there's this part where you're marching or riding in the cavalry, and you kind of do a deep knee bend. And I did that, and I split the back of my pants completely. And that was the day I was wearing my Superman underoos.
Oh.
So I had some red draws showing out my pants. I was so embarrassed. And so ever since that moment, I've been pretty adamant about making sure things are
where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bad. It's such a bad thing. I have split pants before, but luckily it's been like while I'm working somewhere on my own. This might be a TMI, but I would wear normal boxers and just rip the seat out of them constantly. I don't even know why, but my wife would launder them and I'd pull them out of the thing, and she wasn't checking for this, but it had no seat, you know, it's just open. So I now use a cottony blend, almost the same as whitey tighties as far as the feel of them.
Yeah,
they stretch is what I'm saying,
like boxer briefs,
but they're still boxers. They're not briefs. They're loose and free like we like to be. Now when I bend over or move around or stuff, you know, there's flex and stuff. This episode brought to you by Hanes, his way.
So, sponsor us, please.
Please, if you want to.
A new pair.
It's all good. Let's rewind the week. All right. So my weekly update was going to be about these lost keys. And I may still share that. But I went to the P.O. box today. I go about once a week, and I didn't expect anything, but I ended up with a big box of goodies and a card. So
your keys were not in the big box of goodies?
No. The keys is a whole different thing. This one I got from Tammy Edwards and in California. She sent a card to NL Cast and just wanted to, the front it says naughty or nice, and in the card it said maybe a little bit of both. Season's greetings. Here's another 20 shows, Tammy. And she put a $20 bill in the card for the show.
That's awesome. She's
donating for 20 shows. So that's a dollar show. That's all we ask. So she's doing it that way. And I appreciate that, because I've said it on this podcast before that cards without money in them are useless.
I have a lot of useless cards then.
I was not expecting there to be money in here. So I opened it up and dadgummit, if there wasn't money in there. And that just made me laugh out loud. It was great.
That's awesome.
So
that comes from Tammy in California.
Tammy Edwards. Yeah. And then I got a big box from Carrie Wright from Canada. And inside, first of all, was a homemade card. Looks like it was cut out on a Cricut machine, which I have one now.
No way. Those things are awesome.
My sister gave me an extra one that my mother had given her. And it didn't come with a plug or anything, but once I got all the plugs ordered, I've been messing with it, and it's pretty freaking awesome.
That's cool.
But the card,
so probably cut out all sorts of stuff with it, huh?
Oh yeah, I've already cut out like my little snow dude that I made last year. He's just a snowman, very cute snowman guy. I printed him out and on sticker paper and cut around him and gave it to the kids and a friend, and it's neat. It can cut craft foam, and so I'm really interested to do a project with craft foam. But anyway, this is the front of it has a green owl on it, and it says "You're a hoot," and I imagine that goes to both of us there. We're a hoot collectively. She says, although the postal strike isn't quite over yet, I took the risk of putting this in the mail. While I can understand the appeal of full-size Snickers, I feel like it's your favorite only because you missed out on all the glorious chocolate confections available only in America's Hat. And that was the second thing I saw in the box was two full-size Snickers bars.
Holy cow.
On top of a bunch of white crepe paper. So she says, I decided it was time you learned what was out there, including some salty Canadian exclusives. There were three bags of chips in the box. The
Can
only
they call
one
them crisps there.
I don't know.
They call them crisps in the UK.
I wonder. Yeah, they do there, but I don't know. The only one you may have seen before is Mr. Big, but it is my understanding the availability is limited in the US. I had never heard of Mr. Big, so it goes without saying that I continue to be grateful for all that you do. The encouragement I get just from sharing your journey and laughing along with your antics. I hope that you're coming out of your most recent bout. And the answer to that is yes. And we will all be here. As you've said before, we know you always do what you can when you're at your best, so that when you don't, we know why. Wishing you and your family a blessed, happy, and healthy holiday season. One of your podcast people, Carrie. So
awesome.
Inside... Ruffles all,
but wait, there's more.
Yeah. There was, Ruffles, all dressed. That's the name of,
oh yes. Those are awesome.
What the flip, what does all dressed mean?
All dressed. I don't even know how to describe the flavor. It's just like
on the box. It says it has salt. It has red pepper and an onion with two chips on it.
It's a very flavorful chip.
Okay.
That's all I can say. It's like uniquely Canadian from what I understand.
Yeah, so. I agree. Here's another one. Lay's ketchup flavor.
Yes.
Blah.
I know it sounds gross, but man, those are delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a Canadian thing? Because
that's another Canadian thing.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You're going to like those, man. The ketchup ones kind of remind me of like a barbecue chip.
Okay.
Or maybe the all-dressed ones is the barbecue.
I thought they were joke chips because, you know, Lay's was doing like crazy flavors there for a while. So
maybe, they did that weird thing.
Yeah. Hickory sticks.
Not familiar with those.
Yeah. I don't either. They look like little fries, the little crunchy fries that you used to get. There was two Snickers bars. There's a Coffee Crisp from Nestle.
Oh, those are good.
Oreo from Nestle. Crunchy.
Crunchy bars are yummy.
Cadbury. Never heard of any of these. Caramilk from Cadbury.
Caramilks are good too.
Wonder Bar from Cadbury.
I can't remember what those are, but I'm pretty sure I've had one.
Mr. Big from Cadbury. Cadbury's owning Canada, man. And then something called Smarties from Nestle. They are not Smarties that you and I would know. They look like they're candy-colored chocolate. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, so like a little M&M tart.
Yeah, like they're flat, though. Anyway, Cadbury Crispy Crunch was the last one. And there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There were 10 different candy bars plus the 3 bags of chips. And
that's awesome.
It's crazy. It was. So thank you so much, Carrie. If you guys want to send Christmas cards with money in them, I would be amiss if I did not mention that you could send such things
money or junk
to P.O. Box 2153, St. Louis, Missouri, 63158 in the USA. So thanks, Canada Post, for getting your crap together and getting your getting whatever you needed to get back to work.
Yeah, aren't they on strike?
They were. Right they're now? Not anymore.
Okay. Nice.
I get notifications on such things because of the online store, the t-shirts that we sell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you didn't know we sell t-shirts, it's still time to get t-shirts for Christmas.
It's not too late. You can get one with a bat on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have those things.
My son wears that one now. He loves it. It's his favorite shirt.
Awesome. Oh man. So I'll just let that be my weekly update and I'll save the keys story for next time.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It is, unless David's here and we just forgot to mention him.
David, are you there?
Hey man, what's going on?
That's your impression of your brother.
I don't know. It's terrible.
Man, I, you know what? I have one, but I'm looking at it right now. This is what made me think about it. 'Tis the season for finding dead deer along the side of the road.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just it's because I don't know why it is, but there's like,
you live in
the
country. That's why.
Yeah. But this time of year, I guess they're running away from hunters or something. And so they'd rather jump in front of a car than get shot. I don't know what it is.
It's terrible.
It reminded me of this awful. I don't know if I should even say it. Maybe I'll. You know what? I'm not gonna. I can't because
what?
It's a downer. I'll tell it to you some other
time. No, do it.
It's gross.
What? Now okay. I need to know.
All right. Well, I apologize in advance for this.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, like I said, we've got dead deer on the sides of the roads up here. They don't always get picked up, you know, immediately. So we're forced to see the unpaid sanitation department, also known as vultures, come through and take care of these things. But it reminded me of a story that my brother-in-law told me. He was a paramedic and he had got called to a scene once there was an accident and a young teenage girl had hit a deer and then went off the road, you know. And so he walks out, he gets out of the ambulance and walks up to the girls and checking her out and asking her what happened. She mentioned that she hit a deer. And And he said, "Oh, did you kill Bambi?" And she stopped it and looked at him, and her face just started to weep. Later, he found out after he was viewing the scene that not only did he kill the mama deer, but it also killed Bambi, who was along with...
Oh, my gosh.
This is terrible. Why am I telling this story?
I don't know. Why are you?
Me too. But here's the good news.
No. There is no good news.
It.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let me just say something real quick. This is that story show where our purpose is to brighten your day with hilarious real life stories. It's in the opening every week. John,
yep.
What do I have to do, man? What do I have to do to help you to find? We just found. So your story.
I told you it was a downer. I'm sorry.
I had no idea that it was about killing a mom and a baby deer. This is terrible. I'm going to put you on restriction from the show for like a month, man. Oh,
fair enough. I deserve it. I'm sorry.
So
can
bad.
Can I tell a new story?
No, you're not allowed to talk anymore.
Okay.
You're allowed to react. That's your job from now on. No more stories from John.
I had a good one too.
Go ahead.
No, I don't really.
But
I can make one up.
Oh my Lord. Okay, every now and then we have to do this.
I'm so sorry.
It happens. And so I'm going to retell your story for you, John.
Thank you.
All right. So my brother, your brother-in-law was mistaken when he went up there and said, "Hey, did you kill Bambi?" She leaned out of the window and picked up the dead baby deer and said, "Sure did, cuz." Wait, no, that's not better.
That's... You're gonna have to restrict yourself too.
Sorry, I can't
sure
help
did,
it.
Cuz.
Yeah, sure is. Cuz.
I ain't even sad.
This is how I roll. I roll over Bambi. So, no big deal.
I got both of them.
Two for one. Oh gosh, Bambi and her mom. Mm. That opening scene of Bambi would be a little different, wouldn't it? If we got both. All right, I'll let you slide and but yeah, you're going to have to
thank you.
Pay some penance or something. Somebody
I'll go out and make a fool of myself this week so I'll have a really good weekly update next
time. I'll just say this, if that story offended you, send your emails to John Steinklauber.
Yes, and I will apologize in person.
He'll drive to your house.
I'm not going that far.
It is time for what we call the featured story.
Let me tell y'all a story. Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, John, I've been waiting to tell you this one for a while. I know you'll appreciate it. Yeah, have I ever talked on the show about the time my daughter broke her arm? Were we doing the show when...
I don't recall.
Okay. I don't think that we did. So I'm going to briefly go through that story so I can get to where we want to be. This was late summer. We were at the park. Jenna had just gotten a skateboard, a longboard. It's supposed to be safer, right? And it's dark. And we were done with the event that we were having at the thing. We've all cleaned up, but it's dark, and she's rolling slowly down the sidewalk when her front wheels hit a crevice, a gap in the elevation of this sidewalk, and the thing just dead stops underneath her. She falls forward, and she's just screaming, crying, just hurting, and underneath her was a dead baby deer. No. She just happened to have fallen on a baby deer, John.
The deer saved her life.
It just, it was all broken and twisted.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay. Okay.
So, she, I didn't know it at the time. Her arm was different shaped. You know, it was kind of bent down at like the mid of the forearm. It was
like she had an elbow in between her wrist and her elbow.
Yeah, or just it almost looked like that scene in Harry Potter where the bones got dissolved in his arm, and it was just flopping around.
So I don't know.
Yeah, some wizard that thinks he's all that tries to heal Harry Potter's broken arm and ends up accidentally removing the bones from his arm, and it's just like a floppy mess. Yeah.
That's gross.
It is gross. It's hilarious though. So yeah, it's bent down. That's important for later. We took her to the emergency room. Pretty sure that it was broken, you know.
Just one arm or
just the one, just the left arm. And she wasn't able to play sports, you know, for a while. And we had this grand old time. My wife and had to go home with the son, and I stayed with her for hours and hours as we waited. And they had her pain reliever running to her, so she was doing pretty good. We watched Mary Poppins, which is an insanely long movie, and we just made jokes, and we had a great time. Matter of fact, they told us that after she came out of her, because they're going to put her under to set the bone, they said a lot of times that the kids won't remember anything that happened right before that. And so we recorded a message from Jenna to future Jenna.
No way.
Yeah. And I don't remember what it said. It just said, you know, hey, I hope I don't remember this, so this will be funny. She was kind of out of it.
Made a confession that, you know.
So she goes under. She has the bone setting, and you know, they put the thing on her, and she's just hilarious as she's waking up. She's like, I can't feel my legs. Okay. Do I have a cast on my arm? Or no. She would specifically say, do I have a cast on my left arm? And I would say, yeah, you do. Oh, did I get to pick the color? yeah. No, it's just a temporary cast, you know? Okay. Man, I'm tired. Oh, and then she'd close her eyes and then pop them back open. She, I can't feel my legs. Are my legs there? Oh, there they are. And hey, no way. Hey, Dad, guess what? And I said, what? She says, I have a cast on my left arm. And I'm like, really? And so we had this conversation that just kept going. She told me about how when she was under, she was aware that the doctors were there, but she was kind of in space and that she had to find the right chair to come back. So she kept going down into different chairs in space, and they weren't the right chairs. And finally she found the right one, and that's when she woke up. And
that's weird.
And then she's like, so I'm like, Jenna, guess what? She's like, what? I said, you have a cast on your left arm. What?
Did I get to pick the color?
She's hilarious. I mean, she's like, oh, I'm going to cry. And I'm like, why? She says, my tears just need to come out. And then tears would just form in her eyes and fall down the side. Yeah. Yeah. Weird stuff. Really weird. And she healed up and, you know, had the cast removed and, you know, did all the one-armed things that you do.
Right.
And I tell that story as quickly as I did because she got into softball, and on her first game, she's on third and she runs toward home plate and she slides in using her left arm, as a prop, you know, like you do when you slide.
No, and please, no.
All of a sudden there was a scream and I could see it from the bleachers. The same arm broken in the same place, bending up this time.
Look, come on, man.
Dude. And she is hysterical. She's crying. So not again, not again. I'm like, yes, it has happened again. And we're going to get you taken care of and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, she broke her arm in the same place. We had waited the allotted time even further. Yeah. But apparently it was just not a good heal. You know, she was took longer. So we ended up driving her back to the thing, got the same doctors and everybody remembered her. And but this time it wasn't funny. Nothing was funny. It was lots of pain. They had to set it like three times when she came out of the sleeping part or whatever. She was not funny. She was miserable and upset and it was just not good. It wasn't good. But I tell you all that to tell you this is I waited with her again this time. And when it was time for them to put her under, I went out to the lobby and I'm just sitting out there and it's a children's hospital. Okay. So they got security at the door, metal detectors, and you have to have a badge.
The doctors are children.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's decorated. It's a place to sit. So I'm sitting on like some sort of log watching cartoons. And all of a sudden some dude just walks in and sits right next to me. Absolutely empty room. Nobody's there. Nobody. And he sits right next to me. He is instantly, I know he's homeless to some extent. If he's not actively homeless, he's definitely one of the guys that just is lost, like doesn't know where he's at kind of thing. But I don't want to be rude. And plus I'm thinking this could turn into a weekly update or even a featured story if I'm lucky. So the guy leans over to me and I swear, I think he's going to ask me for money. He doesn't. He just says, man, I don't know where I am.
No.
Is this an emergency room? And I says, yeah, it is. It's a children's emergency room. Man, I wish, do you have a car? And I'm like, yeah. And I wish somebody could give me a ride. I'm like, dude, I'm thinking we're in a emergency room. If I'm here, I'm here because I have a child in emergency conditions.
Yeah, for real.
I can't, this is not the place to go look for a ride. But he was, I don't know if he was drunk or high or both, or if his mental state just wasn't there. I'm not trying to make fun of him either way. I'm just telling the story as it happened. So he's sitting right next to me. And he's mumbling about needing a ride. And I start asking him questions, you know, this is a children's hospital, right? And he's like, yeah, I just got out of the hospital, down up the street. They sent me loose. And he pulls out a big piece of paper that is from the emergency room. Like he needs to prove it to me or something.
And check it out. Yeah, I don't, release papers right here, man.
Yeah, release papers.
People totally carry those around.
I don't know what his problem was, but I said I need to go to the bathroom. So I got up and I went to the restroom, and then I looked for a while at a vending machine. He was still there, and I was going to use that as an opportunity to sit somewhere else. And I am so glad I got up when I did, because this guy, I kid you not, farted so hard and so loudly that I don't know that this happened in real life, but I remember he had a suit coat on. I remember the tails of the suit coat flapping.
What?
And him coming up off the seat a little bit and like a rocket about to take off. How they do right before they start moving, they just rumble, you know. And that's what I remember. It was so loud and so it was stereo. It was like surround sound.
Because of the log he was sitting on, right? Was it hollow?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it was a fiberglass. It was resonating. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, but I was so really glad. If I had any doubts that I should go sit somewhere else, though, it was confirmed right there. And that's why I kind of smiled to myself when you said he had release papers. He didn't have those kind of release papers to release that kind of business.
He releases papers.
So I'm on my way to give him a wide berth to walk around to another area, another stump or another log to find a way to sit away from the bubbling fiberglass mess of the paint job that he had just varnished. When the security guard from the front comes to me and says, "Hey, do you know that guy?" I'm like, "No, man."
No, he can rip a good one.
He came and sat right next to me. He's like, "Oh, I was gonna stop him, but then you know, I thought maybe you knew him." I'm like, "No, I don't know him. He says he was from the hospital up the street, and he doesn't have any kids here." And he's like, "Oh, okay, I'll talk to him." I'm like, "You might want to give him a minute."
Yes.
So that guy was not supposed to be there, and he was a security risk, but he got to stay for like an extra 4 minutes.
Because the air needed to clear.
The air needed to clear, man.
Oh. That could be like a life hack right there. Yeah, if you go somewhere where you're not supposed to be, go ahead and let one rip right before they're going to throw you out.
Well, I'll tell you this. That's the end of that story. Eventually, you know, he got walked out, but he was in a full suit. It was weird. But yesterday, I went to the mall with my wife, and she wanted to go into Hollister. And I never shop with her, but we were kind of hanging out. It was almost like a date shop for Christmas kind of stuff. So I've never been into a Hollister before, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. One, their ads and their pictures are usually mostly, I would consider, pornographic. Like, there's just not enough clothes on the models in the pictures in the window.
The clothes that they're trying to sell to people are non-existent.
Yeah,
mostly?
They're not wearing them. Come buy the clothes you don't see. And then usually there's some sort of heavy perfume or cologne that is being misted on the way in. And right. I can't stand that. I have a very sensitive nose. I can't even handle candles and stuff like that. So there's no way I'm going to go in there. Well, this time both of those were gone. It's holidays, I guess. And it's cold around here. So showing people with no clothes on is probably not a turn on, you know,
not a good selling point.
You want to bundle up this time of year. So I go in and I'm very impressed with the way the store is laid out and the lighting and track lighting. They have this dark, it looks almost like Batman's library, except it's all closed and stuff.
Batman's closet for Robin.
Yeah. Yeah. He wears a lot of the same clothes over and over, different styles and some female stores clothes as well. So we walk through this place and I gotta be honest. I have a little inferiority complex a little bit. Like, I think my mom gave it to me. It's a deal where if something's really fancy schmancy, I feel like I shouldn't be there. And like, I'm gonna
relate with that. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's not just me, but
I kind of feel out of place and like, you know, people are looking at me. I shouldn't be.
And
in
it
there.
used to be a really big deal. Like, I thought I was going to get in trouble if I went into a place that I couldn't afford to shop at or whatever. Now I just have fun with it. Me and the wife go out and, you know, we're sitting there and there's 18 forks next to the plate. I'm just like, "Hey, I'm going to pick the one that I want to eat with. And then I want the one with the long prongs, you know?" And I have a blast. It's no big deal. But as I'm walking through, like, I wouldn't even go into the Gap when I was a teenager. I wouldn't even go in. I just felt so inadequate. Like,
really?
Yeah.
And so like, you only shopped at Walmart or something?
I don't even remember. I can't, I can't recall where I got my clothes. Oh,
I remember going to Jay Riggins.
No,
we got our suits at Jay Riggins.
I do remember that. I do remember that. But before that, I would go to what was that place? David's. Yeah.
Oh yeah, David's Bridal.
No, was it Bridal
or well, David's Formal?
He had clothes though too. And that's where I'd get my Bugle Boy shirts and my Bugle Boy jeans.
Yes. Stuff Bugle like Boy that. And Duckhead.
Yeah.
And those were the,
and Chris, cross colors and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah. I remember that. That was over there. St. Mary's off that.
Right. It was next center, yeah, to Piggly Wiggly or not Piggly Wiggly. What was that? That was,
no, it was Piggly Wiggly.
Was it? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I wouldn't even go into a fancy place like that. I just felt like the workers were judging me and all that. So I'm doing that, kind of having a little bit of that as I'm going through Hollister, because it's just clothes I would never wear. I'm a big fat guy. And so you have to remember what started this whole conversation. I had some gas. And so I was like, I'll show them, you know, I don't have... And as we walked through, I would just squeeze out a little bit here and there, little poofs and silent but deadlies as
silence, okay,
as I'm walking through
spritzing your own perfume, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And it just made me feel so much more at ease. I, you know, it was like I was marking my territory, like, you guys think you're better than me, I'll fart on your stuff.
Nobody's going to buy this jean jacket now.
I think it kind of proves that I am pretty scummy and dumb and backward. I just, as I've said it out loud, I realize farting on a store.
Fancy store.
Yeah, that does kind of make me not worthy of going in. No. But I don't know. In my little world at that point, it made me feel comfortable there.
There you go. Maybe that's all you need to do.
Yeah. Just if you're uncomfortable, that's another life hack. If you're uncomfortable in a place, just fart all over it.
Life hack.
Light it up.
Let one go.
Yeah.
Extend your stay and make yourself feel more welcome.
You had no way of knowing, listener, that when you booted up this podcast, you would get so much truth. In your face. It's a GOK.
Consider yourself blessed.
We got some listener stories. Is there anybody gone to listen to my story? This one's called Wrestling Gone Wrong from Martin Mandela Morrow.
The dude.
I know, that's a name, isn't it?
That sounds like a serious, like, professional name.
From Burbank, California. He might be. In 2007, I got to live my dream of becoming a professional wrestler, sort of. I met a guy named Maurice while being an extra for a short film, and we started talking about our love of wrestling. He mentioned he had trained some and done a few spots, and that he was starting a new company called UCW, which stood for Unchained Wrestling. And that I should be a part of it. And I said, I had no training. And he said, we'd get there. But for starters, we needed to get some buzz about the company. And we would do that by invading another company and handing out t-shirts and flyers and more. So we find ourselves out in the boonies of Alabama at Southern League Wrestling.
Southern League Wrestling? Is he in Burbank at this time, or is he?
I have no idea. He's apparently in Alabama. So,
okay.
I don't know.
All right, Dan.
He probably had to move away after this. They were set up in an infirmary, and all of their championship belts were giant and made of scrap metal. We came in with screen printed UCW shirts and began handing them out to people in the audience, some of whom were friends and relatives of the wrestlers in the ring. So their guys get irked by us and begin yelling in our faces, trying to goad us into getting into the ring to fight them. And apparently a very organized event.
Alabama wrestling.
Yeah, you could just come in and wrestle, like in Spider-Man.
I think, you know, in Alabama, they call it wrestling.
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 No, wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling's what you do on your honeymoon. That's what I've heard.
That's not different. What I've heard, but I'll abstain from saying anything further.
Me too. So their guys get irked by us and start yelling in our faces, trying to get us. One of them eventually set one of our shirts on fire.
What?
So we managed to make it.
So Alabama.
I know. There's no rules there. We managed to make it near the end of the show, mostly unscathed. Then Maurice approaches a bowl haircutted child. And he says, "What a cute little boy," to which the kid's mom exclaims, "That's a girl."
Oh, no.
She then texts her husband, who is the biggest dude in the company. It's all caps. And he is livid, and he points at Maurice, telling him he's tired of him and goes to fight him. So the ring clears out. Backstage clears out. So this means they all come to the arena, and it doubles with people. Maurice grabs a chair, and I'm backed into a corner trying to save Maurice's yet unmentioned two-year-old daughter that they'd apparently brought along, who had been left alone in the melee. We managed to scramble and leave while the mob throws rocks at our cars, and we hide out in a Walmart parking lot for an hour waiting for the tense moment to die down. And after that insane night, UCW never, ever came to fruition.
Holy cow.
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah. Wrestling is apparently a hard, it's a hard deal to break into there.
Backyard wrestling in the South here, it seems to be pretty serious. I tell you, there is not a safe folding table in the state. So just, you know, keep your folding table safe and your chairs when you drive through Georgia and Alabama and other parts unknown.
Because you never know when somebody's going to be flying off the turnbuckle and dancing on your stuff.
I can't believe that those people really wanted to scrap.
Yeah, they did. That, I mean, like, they took that serious. And
you called my daughter a boy.
Yeah, if you shave your kid's head down to nothing,
give him a bowl cut.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not. It's hard to tell. Put a bow in her hair or something. If you care, and if you don't care, don't get offended when somebody guesses the gender of your child wrong. See, I'm saying this because I do this all the time. I'm trying to defend a certain type of person, me mostly. But
it's happened.
It's happened to me. There's no coming back out of it. I'll tell you one thing. You know, people say gender doesn't matter these days, or that it's fluid, or that it's neutral, or a mindset. Those same people will try to eat your face off if you accidentally call their dog by the wrong gender. Those same people tell me gender don't matter. Yeah. You mean she? That's what I hear. And I'm like, oh, sorry, she. Cause the dog cares, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The dog doesn't care. Sorry, I didn't talk to you long enough to see how it peed, you know?
Or pick it up and look behind it.
Yeah. So I always love that. Like, you know, gender doesn't matter. And you mean him? I'm like, oh, don't you know all dogs are boys and all cats are girls?
But anyway. That's right. That's right. And all salamanders are genderless.
So that was great. Thank you, Martin Mandela Morrow from Burbank, California.
Burbank.
Feel free to send in any kind of story from your life as an actor. Yes.
There's got to be some good stuff there. And that was well written too, by the way.
It was. It really was. John, why don't you hit us with something from Drew Dodson?
I will. Dodson. This is called.
How do you pronounce his last name?
Oh, Dodgen? Dodgen?
Dodgen.
Dodgen.
I always read that as Dodgen. Yeah.
Dodgen. Yeah.
Okay. So what's this called?
Dodgen. Okay. This is called Dirt Road Dig Out. And Drew says, "Hey guys, Drew from East Texas here with a story that happened to me recently." East Texas. I won't pull out my accents. My bad. I had been visiting a high school friend one weekend and was getting ready to make the 2.5-hour drive home. As I drove down the interstate, I decided to take an exit for a road that I thought might be a shortcut. The road I exited onto was a small two-lane road and in good condition, so I was pretty confident in my decision. Until that road turned into a small country road, seemingly out of nowhere.
That's what they do.
Which, that's kind of a scary. You know, it's like the city has so much money, and so they want the stuff near the interstate to look good. And then it's like, forget about it.
I haven't seen that, but I've seen it where you're driving on a road, and then it says city maintenance ends. And then road has a texture that makes your tires sing. Yeah.
Do I really drive on this or not?
It's okay. It's like sandpaper.
Danger. Well, concerned about where the road was leading, I pulled over, got my phone out, brought up Google Maps, and checked to see where the road led. Admittedly, not turning around and going back the way I came was my second mistake. The first was trying to take the shortcut. Okay, that's good. Confession's good for the soul.
Yep.
According to the map, I was about 10 miles from where the road I was on crossed the road. Wait a second. According to the map, I was about 10 miles from where the road I was on crossed the road I was trying to get to. Got it. So I continued on because the map just told them, only 10 miles away.
And it's not going to get any worse. I mean, surely it's going to be a good road the whole way.
Oh, yeah. Because about 5 minutes later, the paved county road turned into a dirt road.
Dun, dun, dun!
I should have turned around here also, but I was only 5 miles from the road home. It had slipped my mind that it had rained just 2 days prior. That's good.
Yeah.
I continued down the dirt road at a much slower pace and crossed through a couple of small mud patches. When I reached the small bridge and saw one of the largest muddy roads I had ever seen. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I looked at my phone to see I was only 1.6 miles from my turn.
Oh.
I can't really tell you why I decided to cross this mud pit in my two-wheel drive V6 F-150, but I did. You know what? I got to be honest. I probably would have done it too. Well, if you're driving
you've gone that far, but he says two-wheel drive. So he's got all the weight F-150 and none of the grip that you would need to get out. But anyway.
Well, as I sat there waiting for, I'm sorry. I skipped the line.
Oh.
Sorry. So I crossed mud pit in my two-wheel drive V6 F-150, but I did. And as you can imagine, I got stuck pretty good and had to call a tow truck to pull me out.
Ugh.
As I sat there waiting for the tow truck, David's van bogging story came to mind. And he references episode 24. So you have to go back and listen to episode 24. Find out David's van bogging story. I seem to remember that one.
Yeah, I do too.
$400 later, my truck was excavated, and I backtracked all the way back to the interstate.
You could have had him tow you through the bad patch.
It was only 1.6 miles. Come on.
Oh.
It's been 3 weeks since then, and I still find pieces of mud under my truck. Moral of the story? Don't take shortcuts or go mudding in a vehicle not designed to do so. See? There you go. Another life hack.
Another life lesson. Thanks, Drew. Thanks, Drew. We appreciate it.
East Texas.
Oh, I'm trying to think if I've ever been stuck.
Oh, man. And I have been.
I don't think I ever have. Because I've been in slippery situations with snow and stuff. But I don't think I've ever had the guts to do the things like most men would do.
I've got a couple experiences. I can probably write them down and share them with you sometime.
Well, that would be great as long as there's a dead deer in there somewhere.
No,
that would be great. Just kind of shoehorn that right on in.
Deer horn that one right when in. Sorry, that was bad. So bad.
All right, we got another middle school drama.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
Hi, my name is Victor, and I've been listening for a long time. I am 13, and I am with it in the backyard. I don't know what that means, but I am with it in the backyard, and we had come up with a game.
Middle school.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's with a sibling, okay? He says, we came up with a game where he tries to shoot me while I run across the yard. He doesn't mention that this is a pellet gun until later, so I'm going to add that for you, too.
Just so you know. Just spoiler alert.
Yeah. I put on a lot of clothes for padding, including 3 jackets. So this is middle school to a T, dude. The logic, the thrill, the things that they do just makes no sense. Everything was covered but my head. See? So where do you think the...
Nice.
John, where do you think the pellet went? Just without even looking.
Murphy's Law would state that whatever bad can happen will.
Yes, and that's exactly...
And since this is that story show, it probably went right in his eye.
Oh. While I was running across the yard, he shot me in the ear. And it It hurt a lot, and the pellet went way down my ear canal. My mom tried to remove it, but she couldn't get it and was afraid of pushing it further in. So she took me to the walk-in clinic, and they had to use special tweezers to remove it. Hey, do you have... we got a kid with a pellet gun. Can you get the special tweezers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones for idiot kids who have pellets in their ears. The special ones.
Tweezers. Yeah. With lights.
No, those aren't the ones. Those are for stupid kids that stick things up their nose. We need the special tweezers for the ear pellets. Anyway, it was over $200.
Oh.
My mom was really mad at us. The next
rightly so.
The next incident, when Lucifer got hurt, I guess that's what he's calling his brother. I was lucky enough or unlucky enough to witness. It happened in the same backyard, duh. Lucifer was shooting his BB gun at a target. Unfortunately, we had left a bowling ball on the ground nearby. Don't you hate that?
What?
Don't you hate that
one? I just got a bowling ball left on the ground here.
Mom's been telling us to bring that thing in. If you're done playing with it, bring it in the house.
Good grief.
You know, it's just nearby. This is stinking bowling ball infestation. You got to call somebody. Well, anyway, and then for some reason it says A, capital A, B. Oh, I got him. I was going to say it says A and then B dot B dot. So a BB ricochet. Is that how you say that?
I think it's just 2 B's next to you. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but that was a weird thing. A BB ricocheted off the bowling ball and hit his eyeball. Strike. Once again, my mom had to take one of her idiots, thank you for saying that, to the walk-in clinic. And when she, and then they had to go to the eye doctor where my oldest sister, let's call her Lucy, that's original, happened to work. Thankfully, we knew the doctor. Otherwise, we would have had to have taken him to the ER. It still cost a lot of money. Afterwards, both times, my mom yelled at us for not using eye protection. We obviously learned nothing in scouts.
They need ear protection, too.
Yeah. They just take away the BB gun, mom. They can't handle it. I blame the mom. I'm sorry. The kids know they're idiots, but the mom doesn't. So it's mom's fault.
My mom would have taken away anything that could fire anything at all after the thing going in the ear.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it. You're done.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to use forks and knives anymore. You know, you're eating with your hands from now on. Just anything metal is going to stay away from your head. So Lucifer had to wear an eye patch for a week.
Shiver me timbers.
And he looked like a short, skinny pirate. Thanks for the show and keep up the good work from Victor Simon in Brandon, Florida.
Nice.
Florida kids are crazy.
You know, there's too much time on their hands.
There's nothing to do.
And they need some cold weather that chases them inside for a little while.
Yeah, but we're outside 24/7, 365 days a week, a month, a year, whatever they are. And you run out of things to do. So you start shooting stuff or digging holes or yeah, trying to build forts. I mean, it's just all kinds of craziness.
Yeah, chasing the neighbor's dog up a tree. You know.
Yeah, whatever. Shooting your brother in the ear. This one's from Forrest Fisk from Lenexa, Kansas. This is our last one, and I put it in there last because I don't know that it's funny. It just made me smile. And it's very rare that I get a feel-good story in. And this is just a good old feel-good story.
Nice.
Yeah. So I figured it'd be a good way to end this out. It's called Magic Orifices.
Magic. It's magic. It's, I know.
So not too long ago, I was at Olive Garden with friends, one of whom was a six-year-old. He had a magic coin container that made it look like a quarter could disappear when you pushed it in a slot in a certain way. Well, while he walked around the table to get something, I took the quarter out of the container unbeknownst to him. When he came back, I asked him to show me the trick, and he tried to show me the trick, but he couldn't find the coin. And I told him to look around. And then, doing a little magic of my own, I pulled the coin out of his ear, and he was so excited. This has got to be like a 4 or 5, 6 year old, you know, just a kid that just buys it 100%. Yes. He kept trying to pull more coins out of the same ear. It was so funny to watch him. And then while he was busy picking at the same ear, talking to himself in amazement, I secretly asked his mom for another coin. I told him I'd look for more coins, and voila, I found another coin in his other ear. He was overwhelmed with happiness, wondering how his ears could produce the same coin twice. But there was a new coin, and now he had two. So
he's an ATM.
Oh man. So he's got magic and money now. That's great for a little kid. So
that's the way to do it.
I couldn't have been happier to see his reaction. While we were leaving, I found a few extra Andy's mints on the cashier's desk, which I had asked to take. And then I said that his ears were so full of coins, but he should really check his nose, to which I did. And voila, I showed him he had a chocolate Andy's mint stuck up there. He was jumping up and down with joy. And I was so excited with myself for actually pulling this off. You had an easy audience there, Fisk. I think if he had been 16, he might've been a little suspicious at this point, but
I think so. But still, that's the best way to get him, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just then, my own daughter asked me to check her nose. That's a great trend to start right there. And I happened to have one mint left, and now she had chocolate boogers too. She couldn't believe that she could eat them or that they were hers. I was already beaming with pride, and we were on our way out, and the boy said he had never had this happen before, and he was wondering if he could find anything later, still picking at the same nostril from which the chocolate came from. So yeah,
I'm gonna taste this one. Well, this one's salty. I don't know what to do.
Just got to reach in far enough. Anyway, nodding in response and picking up a toothpick conveniently near the exit door, I asked him if he had checked his other nostril. And before he could respond to his shock and forgetfulness, I checked his other nostril and magically produced a toothpick. His eyes grew huge and he pumped his arms and screamed with excitement. Never before had his body produced such things, and he was amazed at what had been accomplished. And I walked to my car, utterly proud of myself, knowing I'd blown his mind for years to come. Forrest Fisk from Lenexa, Kansas. Forrest, you're probably you broke his mind, you bent his reality, and he may injure himself. Trying to get candy and money.
Hope he doesn't try to figure what comes out the other orifices as being something that could be edible.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me check everything.
I made some Hershey Kisses.
So gross. It was just a feel good story. So I liked
it. It was good.
It was, you know, I've been in situations like that where, matter of fact, I did magic for one of the cousins. We went to my sister's just before Thanksgiving, or no, for Thanksgiving. It was for Thanksgiving. And that's when I got my cricket. But what's it called? They had a deck of cards, and they wanted me to do magic, and they didn't know that I did magic. Nobody knew. I was just like, well, here, let me show you a magic trick. And I did a couple of things where I produced, you know, cards, guessed it, they pick a card out of the deck, and yeah. I can guess which suit it's from and the number. And then I did the rising card trick where their card was always on top of the deck, no matter what I did. And then I did a mega one where you take four aces, put them in anywhere, mix the whole thing up. And then I produced four aces and four different flourishes. And they were, the little cousin was just mind blown. He wouldn't even talk to me. So you would have seen right through it, but that's what I said, is the audience makes it worthwhile. Cause I'm way out of practice. I used to do close-up magic as a hobby, and it was a big thing.
Close-up magic. What's that?
Where you would do stuff on a table, like with cards and cups and balls, is close up.
Okay. So, did you ever make bets when you were doing that kind of stuff?
No. I just like
follow the card. Card money.
I liked making people, you know, blow. I liked it best when I would do something, because one of my tricks, I had where the card, I would bend it, put it in the middle of the deck, and then you would literally see it pop to the top, and the top card would then be bent, and I would show it. And then I would put it behind my back and mix it in and shuffle it and try to show the card. Anyway, the long story short, the finale was the card came out of my throat. I coughed up the card that they had just seen after guessing wrong several times, and people would just run away from me.
That's awesome. Run. It's like David Blaine stuff.
Exactly.
I like it. I didn't even know that you had that talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did a little bit of that.
So. Dang, man. What don't you do, Mr. Renaissance?
I don't know. I don't cook very well. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And podcasting fair to mid, not great. But I have an amazing audience. And they send me stuff, and that was really, really cool. So I guess that's everything, right?
I guess the only thing I could do is tell a redeeming. No, I don't even have anything.
So for all the deers out there, thanks for listening this week. Yeah. We appreciate
it. Watch yourself.
Yeah. Take care. Send your stories to thatstoryshow@gmail.com or call them in at 209-5-NL-CAST. ThatStoryShow.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at ThatStoryShow. Review us on iTunes or wherever you found us. That would be great. And if you want more great shows, visit NLCast.com. Don't forget to visit our store. You can go to NLCast.com, click on store, and you can get a logo t-shirt. You can see a brand new mini snowman t-shirt that I put up.
Adorable.
And folks have really responded to that. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to producers Jennifer Kennison, Carrie Wright, Zane Estrada, and James Spangler. Become a patron today at patreon.com/NLCast. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed. Don't come up with a story about a dead deer.
Oh, man.
Just think, this belongs on that story show. And if you do that, you'll be doing better than John.
Thanks. Sorry. Again.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to name this episode Dead Bambi.
Oh, no. That's a terrible name.
It's the only name that fits.
Sorry. I'm sure there's something better. Something.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards. Save big.